This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Guy Timberlake, Chief Visionary Officer of the American Small Business Coalition. You can find Guy at theasbc.org. Guy, welcome back to the show, man.
Mark, thanks for having me back. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into all things small biz. Guy, there's been, once again, Lord knows how much legislation on the Hill. Let's bump the set aside from 23 to 25. That way, we can, your line was we can fail bigger.
So. Yeah, exactly right. Bigger margin of failure. You know, and then you've got the other legislation out there. And I don't think there's too many folks out there that ever read my blog that don't know my opinion on things like the penalizing SESs for their agency's failure to meet small business goals and things of that nature. I think personally, we're just looking at too many punitive measures and not doing enough to try to actually, you know, reinforce the relationship or build the relationship so that there's actually some semblance of working together and liking each other. But that's my two cents.
There you go. But, you know, yes, if you can't, go to ASBC, theasbc.org. You can find Guy's blog. It's usually posted. If you're in any of the government contracting groups on LinkedIn, you should be able to find it that way as well. We're not going to go after the legislation, maybe just yet anyway. But, you know, lately I've gotten calls, and I'm not a contractor. I've been invited to be a contractor a couple of times.
Yep.
But, it's not what I do. But I get calls from this company trying to sell me the concept that a GSA schedule is the panacea. And Lord knows. It can be part of a good strategy,
mm-hmm.
but a part. It is not the whole ball of wax.
So not the end all be all.
No. So let's talk about what it really takes for a company to get started here. Everybody hears, government contracting is huge. We're taking a hit. Yeah, everybody's taking a hit.
Mm-hmm.
But
still the best game in town, though.
Yep.
There are more and more companies that are making the transition from the private sector, commercial sector, and sticking their toe in the water to get involved. And, you know, that's going to create more opportunities, you know, for agencies to have more small businesses, but it's also going to create, you know, higher levels of competition as well. But one of the things that we continue to see, and Mark, you and I talk about this all the time, are, you know, how the heck do I get started? You know, it seems like government contracting for a lot of people just seems to get more and more complicated. And I think in some aspects it can be more complicated just with some of the new rules that are being put in place and so forth. But I think it's really the keep it simple, stupid approach to getting started. I mean, it's the basic, you know, the fundamentals of any foray into a new area of business. What are some of the basic things you need to do? You need to understand what the landscape looks like. You need to understand how you relate to that landscape. And then you need to figure out basically how you're going to pursue opportunities in that landscape.
Exactly. Figure out your product service category, which is basically your NAICS mm-hmm. translated into closer to government speak.
Yep.
And then you go to, what would you suggest first?
Well, I mean, the first thing, and I get this a lot from companies, and whether it's, you know, I spoke at the Veterans Conference a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, spoke at the Congressman Moran, had a small business procurement conference a couple weeks ago that I spoke at. And it's a great opportunity for me to kind of get out there and talk to some folks that are outside the normal circle of, you know, the American Small Business Coalition and the other groups that we support. But a lot of times a lot of folks are trying to figure out is, you know, where do I start? How do I figure out what agency I should be pursuing? And how do I position myself? And, you know, how do I even get started? Do I need a GSA schedule? Do I need to get 8A certified? Those type of things. And a lot of folks, you know, tell me the first two things they hear talking to, you know, service providers and even government agencies, they hear a lot of times first two things, get a schedule, get 8A certified. And I tell them a lot of times, you know what, hold that thought. Let's do a little research. Let's find out first why it matters and if it matters. So one of the big things is I thought I wanted to do is, in the famous words, market research. Go figure out what the landscape looks like. What's the competitive landscape? You know, does the government even buy what you're offering in the way that you offer it? Now, short answer, 9 out of 10 times is, of course they do, but you've got to figure out, you know, will they buy it from you?
Exactly.
And that's the key.
That's number one. Number two is, what's their preferred buying method?
Absolutely.
Agency specific vehicle, GSA, GWAC, IDIQ, MAC.
Exactly. Yeah. And the information is not really that hard to get. And I say it this way, there are a lot of, you know, great products out there put out by a lot of very good companies that can help you get to the root of understanding spending trends and product trends and initiatives and things of that nature. And a lot of them are really worthwhile. Some of them are priced at a point that, you know, you really got to go take out a second mortgage sometimes to do them. But I know a lot of very small companies who've made that and it's worked for them. But at the end of the day, there is, you know, almost all the information that you need can be obtained in, you know, one of three ways. And that is talking to the government, you know, leveraging government information online or in print, talking to your peers, folks that are in the business and around the business. And, I mean, those are really the two things you want to do. And then a lot of it has to do with just kind of following the action. What are the, you know, spending habits? What are the initiatives coming out of the secretary's office, the CIO's office, the Chico's office, things of that nature? What is it that's driving them to spend money? Quite honestly, what are the problems they're trying to solve? And the more you understand, you know, the mission of the organization that you want to support, why it's their mission, why it matters, and how you can impact that mission, you'll be able to kind of, you know, start tying in, is this a place I should work with? And we talk about all the time, you know, those folks who have never done business, you know, in a certain part of government, like the intelligence community, for example, that may not be the first place you want to start unless you have developed a solution very specifically attuned to what they do. And if you have, that means somewhere along the way, you've either spoken to someone from that part of the community or you spend time in that part of the community.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned early on that I'm not a government contractor. I have been approached by people in the government to say, can you come in and do this, that, or the other? And I go, I can, but, you know, it'll either be simplified acquisition, a la my friend Guy, sole source, because I'm not going to go on schedule.
Yep.
And they go, well, why? I go, because my hourly ain't coming down for you, you know?
Well, and that's one of the things, and, you know, we talk about, you know, Richard Mackey and Courtney Fairchild and the folks that are out there that are doing GSA schedules and the related services the right way, who, you know, very much take the approach of helping you understand why a GSA schedule is or isn't necessarily the course of action for you based on a number of different criteria.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we recommend them is they'll quiz you a little bit on the front end, and they'll say, are you sure this is the way you want to go?
Well, and in other words, what's the basis for it? I mean, we just had, you know, someone we know who just went and got a GSA schedule, and I think they're in close to final negotiations for it right now, and had a quick conversation. You know, they're going to make the transition in. I said, okay, great. Who are the agencies that you're focusing on? Oh, haven't thought about that yet. Oh, boy. Okay, so what is it, you know, what are the cleans on the offer you sent to the government? You know, gave a little feedback and said, okay, so I understand you're going to try to sell this. So let's take a look at that right now. Let's pull some of this information up and see how the government is currently buying that. And we did a quick review over FY12 spending in these areas, and we did a comparison of what was on schedule versus off schedule and identified where it was off schedule. And there's a heck of a lot more business happening away from the GSA schedule for this particular offering than there was on schedule.
Well, you know, you and I go through this on a regular basis. There's three things you got to understand about GSA schedules. It is the most visible government contract, and it's the most used. One-third of procurements go, or one-third of transactions go through GSA.
Absolutely.
It only accounts for 7% of the government spend.
Well, this is where we get into, you start talking about, you know, some of the technical terms and contract actions and things of that nature. And you know, I had to go make sure I understood what I was talking about, so I went and looked it up in the FAR just to make sure that I understood what it was. But, yeah, I mean, the number of, you know, we talk about micro-purchases and simplified acquisitions and things like that. And for the last couple of years, you know, with simplified acquisitions alone, GSA has been the lead agency on the number of actions executed as simplified acquisitions. They, however, are not number one, even by a long shot, or number two for overall spending. So they're, I mean, and the distance between the number of contract actions that they execute under simplified acquisitions, I mean, to the tune of like 225,000 a year. And then the next closest agency being DOD for number of actions is maybe 100,000. But you sit there and look, do the math, look at the dollars actually spent. DOD is, I mean, way out in front. And so activity does not necessarily mean, you know, equate the dollars spent.
Point. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We will be back after these messages.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. How do we enhance national competitiveness? What about getting big things done in government? Tune in to the Business of Government magazine next week and find out. Hear from government executives Gene Dodaro, Michael Astrew, Admiral Robert Papp, Aaron Connaughton, Tish Long, and Stephen Kempf next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Margie Moore and Kimberly Thompson from Women in Federal Law Enforcement to talk about WFLE's upcoming conference.
Staying focused on your mission requires making smart decisions and mitigating unnecessary risks. That's why many agencies turn to GSA. With unparalleled experience in acquisition and financial compliance and technical expertise, GSA makes it easy for federal civilian and military customers to maintain mission focus and enhance program performance by adding value. With trained professionals in contracting, financial, and program management, GSA stands ready to help execute large-scale and/or complex and/or sensitive IT and professional services projects while maintaining seamless compliance with today's tough mandates. With GSA, you gain a trusted partner to ensure delivery promises are kept on time, on budget, and at best value. To learn how GSA can help, call 703-605-3699. That's 703-605-3699. Or visit gsa.gov/AAS. That's gsa.gov/AAS. GSA, providing custom solutions to your complex requirements.
Here's an inspiring story provided by Insperity.
Hi, I'm Tony Sterling, Vice President of Project Support Services Incorporated, a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. We provide project and contract support services to federal, state, and local government. I wear many hats in my job, as I'm sure most of you do, in small and mid-market companies. In 2008, we had only 46 employees. Now, thanks to Insperity's diverse spectrum of services, we have 156 employees and a true national footprint. One of the keys to our rapid growth is Insperity. They give us the resources of a large corporation in areas like HR, payroll, recruiting, training, and consulting on compliance issues. It's comforting to know that we have Insperity in our corner.
Insperity understands the many challenges faced by the federal contracting community. You need the right resources to give you the competitive advantage. Insperity's multi-state infrastructure gives you big company resources without compromising your status. Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Today is the day to make the switch to decide you're going to choose to save money with Ackerman Security Systems.
I was looking at ways to reduce expenses at home. I checked my alarm monitoring bill and wow, I made the switch to Ackerman with no cost to switch and only $18.95 a month. Now I save $25 a month. That's $300 a year.
Why wait? Call Ackerman today and receive 2 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
For 125 years, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth of our nation's capital and its surrounding communities. Your support will help over 21,000 youth who need you most walk through the doors of a Boys and Girls Club and walk out with a plan for their future. Every dollar donated in fiscal year 2012 will be matched up to $250,000 by Stanley Martin Homes. You can help. Go online to www.bgcgw.org and change someone's life. This message brought to you by GEICO.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Guy Timberlake, Chief Visionary Officer of the American Small Business Coalition. You can find Guy at theasbc.org. I suggest you do so. I suggest you, do you have an RSS feed for your blog? Of course.
Absolutely.
Get on the feed, or if you follow other discussions that we have on LinkedIn, please do it there as well. One other thing that I wanted to mention about the GSA schedules before we take a little deeper dive into Simplified. There's about 14,000 companies on GSA schedules. Yep. GSA has done a good job the last couple of years in removing several of the companies that have had 2 years to ramp up $25,000 and have not done so. That does not change the equation, though, because so many companies are getting scheduled without planning that the ratio stays the same. Mm-hmm. The top 2% of the companies on GSA schedule take over two-thirds of the dollars that go through GSA schedules.
Right.
Oh, Mark, why? Because they know how to use it. There's about 50, let's call it, somewhere between 40 and 50% of the companies make either below the $25,000 threshold or $0.
Or zero.
Period.
Right.
That's not good. That's not a strategy.
Well, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of expectations. Early on, you know, and especially, you know, one of the things that we've seen culminate over the years is with CCR, the Central Contractor Registration Database, there are these folks that mine that, you know, it's gold nuggets for them. So anyone that's experienced this in the last, you know, few years or so, you go register in CCR, you get your profile set up, and all of a sudden, all the shiny rocks start appearing in your inbox from all the companies that want to sell you these great services like GSA schedules, get you registered in the CCR and Orca, because having a properly filled out profile will make the heavens open up and pour money down on your company. So there's all these, you know, areas of opportunity that are happening as a result of that. Well, you know, it was in 2008, I think GSA made it possible for companies to have their profiles hidden so that only folks with the .gov or .mil domain can see their profile. And I know companies that are taking advantage of that because they're tired of getting all the spam coming across from this. But all that being said, you know, the bottom line is people are getting GSA schedules, or they're getting 8A certified, or they're doing other things, and they're not ready to use it. I come across companies all the time who are in the 8A program who have not even started to do federal contracting yet, and when they come around to doing it, it's 4 or 5 years into having their 8A that they've made a decision to go after federal contracting. And so they're basically, when they should start, you know, be in the process of winding down and getting ready to transition out of the program, they're just getting started.
Just getting started.
Exactly. GSA schedule is a lot of the same. I know companies who have gone out and, on the advice of whomever, got a GSA schedule.
Phone call.
Okay. got a GSA schedule, and then subsequently lost the schedule because they didn't fulfill the requirement there. I know some companies who have gone out and gotten schedules again after that, and they mean it's a time and money investment. And they did it for a couple reasons: either somebody in an agency said it was a good idea, or a prime contractor told them it would make them more appealing if their company had a GSA schedule.
And that's a little puzzling.
Yeah, well, and that's a topic of some discussion on one of my blogs right now, and somebody made mention of that. I said, okay, why is that? So I'm waiting for a prime contractor to give me a call and tell me why a GSA schedule would make one company more appealing than another as a prospective partner, you know, because if having a GSA schedule is a badge of success or stability or something like that, I mean, what we talked about, Mark, so if I've got a GSA schedule as a company and I've got $0 on my schedule but $5 million that I'm tracking off schedule, and then another company comes in with $0 off schedule and $1 million on schedule, are they more potentially appealing than I am? All things being considered, we do the exact same thing. So that's you know, but that's kind of the belief that's being fostered right now. So there are a lot of people getting GSA schedules and doing other things like that for what appears to be not the right reason.
Right. And just so you know, I just pulled up the CCR data as of today, and we're recording this on June 2. There's 637,225 companies registered to do business on CCR. A lot of these companies also think now that they're registered on CCR, ooh, we're going to get some business.
Yeah. Well, and again, and it's the same thing. We talk about expectations. I know plenty of folks plenty of companies who believe that as soon as they get their award on GSA schedule, that, again, the heavens are going to open up, all this opportunity is going to start coming their way, and I think they're greatly disappointed when it doesn't happen. And it, you know, the same thing can be said for 8A and so forth. And it comes down to planning, and it comes down to having a purpose, you know, purposeful mission, if you will, of what you're trying to accomplish, and being able to go out there and say, okay, here's who I am, here's what I do. And we talk about relationships all the time. And, you know, it's about going out there, becoming known, liked, and trusted, you know, to folks that matter, who will give you an opportunity to do business with them. And then once you have that relationship, you push it further. But the ability and the relationship, in my opinion, are the two core things. And then the other attributes, like socioeconomic designations, like certain contract vehicles or contract methodologies, you know, industrial security, all those things are attributes that can add value to the initial value that's already there.
Yeah. And you know, the again, we go back to the research here. You've got to figure out what you sell, who buys it, how they buy it, and migrate from there. We do not start with assumptions. It's simply registering at CCR, which is a requirement,
yep,
and ORCA, are going to get you business. It
right.
does not happen. A GSA schedule does not guarantee you business.
Not at all.
Being on 8A stars does not guarantee you business.
Well, in the conversation we had about the 599 companies out yep. there, and we you know, there was a couple conversations that happened about, you know, the old 80-20 rule is probably more likely now than the new 95-5 rule. Basically, 5% of the companies on stars will get 95% of the business, and there will be a lot of companies with zilch against the stars contract by the time it's all said and done.
There you go. But, you know, we've been over this several times because a report came out about 2.5 years ago. American Express Open did a study a while back. It takes 19.5 months
mm-hmm.
for a company that's focused on winning business.
Yep.
To get their first legitimate contract.
And you and I have always talked about the fact that I think we pretty much almost verbatim quoted 18 to 24 months before you see any meaningful success in government contracting. You might be able to go out and get a luck shot and, you know, respond to something off of Fed Biz Ops or get a micro purchase for a few $1,000s, but getting some meaningful business that not only puts money in your pocket and past performance on your docket, but gives you a relationship that you can continue to manage and massage to go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. So the other thing from the Amex study that's now a couple of years old is that the process involved an expenditure of $86,000 plus per year during that process, and these were external spends as well as internal costs.
Right, and I think you said it earlier the right way, and I tend to agree with you. I think that number is probably kind of low in the scheme of things when you think about, you know, a lot of these companies, who's actually doing the work. Well, you know, the billable rate for the CEO, as it were, you know, to do some of the work like filling out a response to a GSA schedule or, you know, other things like that, I think that would tend to push that number up quite a bit higher, especially if there's multiple people involved, you know, in the company. And then again, external resources, outsourcing certain things, buying access to certain information, I would tend to think that number would be a lot higher.
Yeah, well, again, I thought it was a little conservative myself, but it depends on the size of the company.
Yep.
Depends on a variety of issues. So let's migrate back briefly to the SAP and the other contracts.
I mean, sure.
You know, you were there. You recorded when Max Peterson and I did a 7-hour interview on the sales process.
Yep.
Of selling to the government. Max at the time had just left CDWG, mm-hmm. and he said, and I believe this is a direct quote, that the trifecta for IT product companies at that time, and this is 2007 thereabouts, mm-hmm. Was GSA schedule, SOUP, and ECS3. But being myopic and going for one contract just was not going
to
cut it.
Well, it's incomplete, and again, it's you know, trying to help dispel the myth that GSA schedule is the end-all be-all. You know, it's a great resource, it's a great tool. GSA does a great job with the program, but the average company needs more than just a GSA schedule. And so with all of the other agency contracts that are out there, and I don't know too many people that would disagree, you know, that SUP is the best run, best, most successful GWAC in the history of government contracting.
Everybody who's on SUP would agree, and all the people who buy from it would agree.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that is one of the ones, that's definitely one of the, you know, I'll say Max even said, you know, it's a prerequisite, part of that trifecta for success. But again, there are other vehicles, and a lot of times it depends on what your agency alignment is. If you're working a lot with the Army, obviously, you know, ITES, you know, one of the iterations of ITES is probably something you want to be looking at. If you're working with the Navy, you know, Seaport and even other contracts are the ones that you want to be aligned with. And when with the Air Force, it's NetSense and, you know, ECS3 at NIH and those types. So there's lots of ones out there, and it really depends on where it is you're aligning yourself.
Exactly. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We will be back after these messages.
Here's Adrian Gardner, CIO, NASA Goddard, on the Federal Executive Forum on Secure Cloud Computing, sponsored by Brocade.
When we build satellites, if there was a way to virtualize the entire front end of that development process, that would be a huge benefit from the standpoint of the scientists and engineers on the center. We would fly technology that was potentially a second or third generation more fresh than we would if we actually built it on the hardware and then stage it for it.
To listen to the entire program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Meet the future head on. Be a part of a unique forum that will help you address your most critical data center networking challenges. Attend Brocade Federal Forum 2012 to learn how the latest IT advances can transform your data center into a strategic, powerful tool. Join other federal and industry experts August 21st and 22nd at the Ronald Reagan Building for this informative conference. Register today at brocadefederalforum.com. That's brocadefederalforum.com.
Does your agency have an innovation strategy? Learn how innovation supports growth, cost reduction, and collaboration across government with Cesar Hidalgo, Assistant Professor at MIT, and J.R. Reagan, Federal Chief Innovation Officer and Principal at Deloitte & Touche. Tune in with host Jane Norris on Deloitte's Fed Central, Thursday, June 7th, and June 21st at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Celebrate summer at Safeway's Barbecue Battle, June 23rd and 24th on Pennsylvania Avenue. Benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs, this great family event features free food samples, free kids rides, and activities like NBA Nation, plus 30 bands on three stages. Hear Soul Asylum and a special tribute to the legendary godfather of go-go, Chuck Brown. For more information, call 202-829-3099 or visit bbqdc.com. We'll see you at the BBQ.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 260 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, what does your company do, John? My company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations that have programs for conformity assessment, accreditation, standards, and policy management. Is your agency responsible for conformity assessment? If so, then please visit our website, armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Adobe Acrobat Pro is actually used very commonly for PDF archiving. If you've got a lot of files of different formats and different types, if you just save these files in all these different formats, then 20 years later somebody wants to look at the file, they'd actually have to have the program that could open up that file. So for digital archiving, you'd rather have a standardized file format.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
We all fear having to use dirty public toilets. So three recently graduated Purdue University engineering students have invented a toilet seat washing machine. When you lower the lid, it's enveloped by a tightly sealed barrier. Then small amounts of the clean water from each flush are diverted into spinning lawn sprinkler-like blades.
And that builds up a lot of momentum, and that's how the blades clean off the entire seat. And we have wipers attached to that same mechanism, and the wipers dry off the seat.
Dimitri Sagamonian, a co-inventor of the Poseidon seat, says it works even without soap or added chemicals.
We've covered the seat with jelly, ground beef, sauce. We're trying peanut butter now, and the seat gets clean in an instant because you have all that water pressure.
Sagamonian says with no need for regular maintenance or electricity, its cost per use should be very low. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Guy Timberlake, Chief Visionary Officer of the American Small Business Coalition. Guy, you know, we were talking about the trifecta of contracts. We did GSA, we did some on the Simplify, we were talking about some GWACs and IDIQs, but we haven't really touched on subs or teaming. So what's the value and how do companies, you know, really get started?
Well, I mean, the basic premise is that anything meaningful, any substantive requirements or contracts that the U.S. government is issuing nowadays requires typically more than the bandwidth or capacity of a single company. And so what you're seeing more and more is requirements being written so that it takes a team approach, even a consortium approach in some instances, so that they can manage it more effectively as opposed to having disparate contracts out there for different requirements. You know, and it's not so much the bundling, it's just being smart contracting and having the onus on one choke point, you know, whoever the company is that's got the contract, and letting them manage the activity, you know, of their partners and their subcontractors. But the bottom line is it's a necessity. If you're not engaging other companies and not researching companies that you should be aligning with and talking to about, you know, pooling your resources and you're pooling your knowledge to go after business, you're missing the opportunity. You're missing the boat, quite honestly. And so it really comes down to, you know, as you are doing your investigation to understand how agency is buying, even for small simplified acquisitions, quite honestly, there may be a level of effort required for you to bring somebody else to the table to help kind of augment your offering or help get you in the door.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, I've seen, and it's kind of inadvertent advice, but I've seen webinars and seminars put on by government agencies,
yep,
that simply say, you know, there's a slide. Get a subcontracting agreement with a prime. and no, yeah. All right.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah. Or team with other small businesses to go after a large contract. Hello. You know, number one, you know, they don't even mention the factoring component. You know, how are you going to fund this if you're going to go after it? A lot of small businesses are still unsure as to, well, I'll just go to my bank. Most banks don't do that. Most banks don't understand the business of government. Doesn't mean they don't want to loan you money. They just don't want to loan it to you for this because they don't really understand it. They're specialists.
And that's why there are all sorts of alternative financing opportunities and options out there. And we work with a lot of great folks out there that, you know, that help companies out so that if you need that, you've got to do some surge hiring or, you know, ramp up for, you know, putting people down somewhere. You know, your bank may not be that resource to help you do it. And so you've got to come up with another opportunity. And you're going to do that either with one of those alternative financing organizations, or you're going to possibly do it with a partner or multiple partners who can help bring it to the table and maybe, again, augment you from an infrastructure standpoint so you can get the work done.
Yeah. Subbing and teaming is a huge, huge way for small businesses to win business.
Absolutely.
And largely when, you know, in the Amex study, they're talking about companies taking 19 and a half months. This is usually the method that they're winning their first business in.
Well, and one of the things we try to help folks understand is there is more to teaming and being a sub than going out to what we call the usual suspects. You know, there's a lot of great companies out there, but, you know, the ones that get the most visibility are the biggest and the baddest out there. And no offense to them whatsoever, but, you know, you come into this business and you end up hearing about Lockheed and Booz and Khaki and, you know, General Dynamics and so forth. because they've just got that kind of a presence. They've got that visibility. And one of the things we try to help companies understand is there's a lot of value, a tremendous value to working with other small businesses. There's a lot of value to going out there and finding those mid-tier companies who are neither small any longer, but they're definitely not part of the billion-dollar boys and girls club and up there with the GDs and Lockheeds. So they're kind of in that no man's land in between and betwixt, and they're all very hungry, but they're very viable companies to hitch your wagon to because they're usually small enough that they remember what it was like being at small business, culturally and technically speaking. But at the same time, they're also fairly hungry and looking for these opportunities as well.
There you go. You know, the other component to this entire thing, and both of us drive this message on a perpetual basis, and that's the networking. This is a relationship-driven market. And if you don't have relationships with the primes, the other small businesses, the agencies, the procurement people, you know, if you're not a known player,
yep,
the likelihood of winning business is about zero.
The truth of the matter is it's no longer just about who you know and what you know. I think that went out probably, you know, back in the 90s, give or take. I think the most important thing now is it still matters. It's still all about know, like, and trust. Who knows you, who likes you, who trusts you, are the end-all be-alls, quite honestly. But it really comes down to who knows you and what they think of you. And, you know, that's where the networking, that's where the relationship building, you know, getting that presence, it's the awareness. It's why companies spend crazy amounts of money all the time on marketing and social media and, you know, PR and those kind of things. It's creating that visibility. And that's really the basis for a lot of this, is that it's ultimately the handshake, quite honestly.
Yep. And that's it. But, you know, there's if you go to GovEvents, right? GovEvents.com,
yep.
All the events in the world here.
Carrie and her team do a great job over there.
Yeah, they do. You can find my events there. You can find Guy's events there.
Mm-hmm.
But you could spend your life out of the office at various events. How do we select the ones that are most germane?
Well, honestly, it really is, you leverage relationships. You talk to people that you know who participate in these various activities, who can tell you what's a good use of time and what's not a good use of time. There are a lot of really good organizations out there based on the part of government that you're supporting or based on the type of discipline that you possess. I mean, the bottom line is, if you are in professional services whatsoever, you probably should talk to Stan Soloway and the folks at PSC, you know, Professional Services Council. AFSCIA is an institutional organization in this town. ACT-IAC does a phenomenal job as well.
Back up to AFSCIA
sure,
a second.
Absolutely.
There's chapters for everything.
Absolutely.
I had Jerry Sheppers and Chuck Taylor on from AFSCIA Central Maryland. They
yep.
focus on doing business with a favorite client over in the
Fort Meade area.
Yeah.
Yep, excellent. No, and yeah, actually just had the pleasure of working with Jerry Sheppers on an event we did, as a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Great guy, great wealth of information. Somebody that if you get 20 minutes to sit down and talk to him, man, he can just give you all sorts of great insights into what it's like in this business.
Yep.
But yeah, there are great organizations out there, and what you want to find out.
ASBC?
Well, we think we're one of the good organizations out there, too. We try to do a lot of good things.
You wouldn't be here if you weren't.
Well, absolutely. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things you can spend your time and money on. And it's really important for you to kind of figure out where to do that. You know, one of the things that happened this morning, we have our monthly Intel meeting over in Maryland, and one of the folks had gone to the SOFIC conference down in Tampa, Special Operations Forces Industry Conference, and it was run by NDIA, the National Defense Industrial Association.
Another excellent.
Yeah, and that's another institutional organization, and they could not rave enough about just how good of a job that NDIA and SOCOM did with this event, with getting information out. And so that's what you're looking for. That's where you want to spend your time. And, you know, when I sit down with companies that take advantage of our core membership and strat reviews, we talk about, you know what, at the start of the day, you know, whatever your goal is for running your company and being in business, make sure you got it somewhere, you know, so you can see. It's kind of like, you know, that, you know, being on a submarine and slapping the pinup girl before you go into the torpedo room, you know, that kind of thing. You want to basically have it there to remind you all the time, well, what you're doing is for, what it's all about. So when it comes down to it is, as you start looking at different activities, whether it's groups, events, opportunities, what have you, you should be able to correlate some value that it will provide you towards achieving your goal. And if there's not, if it's not there, it's probably not worth your while.
Bingo. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We will be back after these messages.
We have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Recently, United Healthcare was selected to serve the families in the TRICARE West region, and we want those who we will serve to know more about us. United Healthcare is part of a company of over 115,000 people, serving over 75 million Americans nationwide. Our people work hard to be a trusted healthcare partner for all of our members, and we're proud of our track record of quality service. The American Medical Association ranks us number one in claims processing accuracy among the 7 leading commercial health insurers for 2011. J.D. Power & Associates names us number one in its employer satisfaction survey. And Fortune magazine has named us its most admired health insurer 2 years in a row. As provider for the members of TRICARE West, our people will work every day to put our unmatched provider network, industry-leading innovations, and passion for service to work for you. We are United Healthcare. And for us, the chance to help military families isn't just a job, it's an honor. United Healthcare.
Please join Tom Temm on June 12th at 2 p.m. for a dynamic panel on meeting your telework goals using client virtualization solutions, sponsored by GovConnection, HP, and VMware. You'll hear from agency panelists Danette Campbell, Anil Carmel, Rick Colgate, Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, and industry expert David Young from VMware, discussing telework policy drivers, mandates, and updates, and the technology deployed at various agencies to support the telework mission, June 12th at 2 p.m.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. How do we enhance national competitiveness? What about getting big things done in government? Tune in to the Business of Government magazine next week and find out. Hear from government executives Gene Dodaro, Michael Astrew, Admiral Robert Papp, Aaron Connaughton, Tish Long, and Stephen Kempf next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Lateral epicondylitis is a painful condition you probably know by its other name, tennis elbow. Tennis elbow results in pain on the outside part of the elbow.
Usually from repetitive wrist extension and forearm supination, which means turning the palm up.
Like the motion used in hitting a backhand. And doing it over and over and over, explains Mayo Clinic Dr. Michael Stewart, can result in wear and tear to the tendon on the outside of the elbow. The pain can affect not only your game, but everyday activities too. Treatment starts with rest. Applying ice and heat to the area can also help.
There have been some mixed reviews on treatments such as injections of steroids or Botox, also shockwave therapy.
Dr. Stewart says there's also a small group of patients who may need surgery to repair the damaged tendon. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
Celebrate summer at Safeway's Barbecue Battle, June 23rd and 24th on Pennsylvania Avenue. Benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs, this great family event features free food samples in Safeway's Sampling Pavilion, free kids rides and activities, plus 30 bands on 3 stages. Hear Soul Asylum on Famous Dave's music stage and a special tribute to the legendary Chuck Brown on the Pepsi Next Lay's stage. Easy to get to by Metro. Call 202-828-3099 or visit bbqdc.com. We'll see you at the BBQ.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Guy Timberlake, the Chief Visionary Officer of the American Small Business Coalition.
Hey, Mark, thanks again for letting me be here today. And I'm actually really psyched about this last segment because this is something that's near and dear to my heart. It's something I've, you know, as long as I've known you, got 16, 18 years, you know, it's been something that you've ingrained in me and I learned from you early on too. But education is a huge part of this business. And, you know, the 20 years I've been in this, I learn something new every single day. I'm constantly referring back to the FAR or the CFRs or calling somebody at OFPP or things like that just to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. And that's, you know, that's really part of what this is all about. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that you've got going on right now that I'm excited about to be connected to. You know, we, you know, within the American Small Business Coalition, we have the ASBCs, the government contracting. We're always putting educational content out there, bringing folks in, you know, whether it's you or Courtney Fairchild or, you know, any number of folks, you know, Brian Flood from Decision Point and so forth, who come in and offer up, you know, either experience-based or actual book-based educational programs to help people do better. And it's everything from understanding the acquisition processes that might be relevant to you. You know, is a GSA schedule right for you? Is it simplified acquisition? Do I even bother getting involved in micro purchase? That kind of thing. It's the same thing we talk about with, you know, the GWACs. You know, when the folks get GSA schedules or BPAs or otherwise, they get these contracts and then they sit around waiting for the phone to ring. And we have the people come in and teach you actually how to use these and how to go market them effectively, understand what you can and can't do on the contract as a prime or as a sub, so that you can go maximize it. And so that's what I'm excited about with, you know, the new Government Market Master Program. And you know, I think you should tell people about that for sure.
Well, we're definitely going to get there. But, you know, the educational component, when I was on the board of the ASBC, everything that we talked about earlier, the research, we didn't get into differentiation. We should have. The schedule, the simplified acquisition, teaming, partnering, GWACs, IDIQs. The ASBC's been teaching people about this since day one. That's why your membership has grown, and the organization at 9 years old now, I think, is still growing, still vibrant, and you're always trying new things, finding new ways to educate your members in each segment. So you've got a number of verticals within the organization,
yep,
that are, you know, the Intel thing this morning before we came down here to record.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, whether it's the Intel folks, the professional services folks, the construction of facilities, transportation, I mean, we're trying to touch those things. And it's not to be a jack of all trades, master of none. It's really to be able to provide good information to the folks working in those segments so that they have more than a fighting chance to go out there and be able to implement their strategies and achieve whatever goals they've set for themselves and their companies.
Right. And to clarify or expand a little bit on the Government Market Master Programs, I've been mentioning it at the end of the show for the last several weeks now, but basically what we're doing here is offering ongoing professional education to professionals in our market, novices and journeymen alike, you know, experienced people. You know, my government marketing best practices session will occur again for about the 50th time on the 26th of June. We've had people who, you know, my peers are sitting in the class, and, you know, the reason they're there is, you know, partly refresher, partly, you know, there's always new stuff going on.
Yep.
So, our deal here is to have frontline people who do this stuff on a regular basis, which is why you're teaching our simplified acquisitions session.
Yep.
Bob Davis is teaching our BD sessions.
We, the doctor.
Exactly. And then you were there to record the 5 hours I did with Bob.
Exactly right.
And that's also about 4 years ago.
Yep.
But man, you know, sitting down with these guys, picking their brains like that is extraordinary. So not only are we offering the education, but you're also networking at the same time.
Absolutely.
Your peers will be there, and the person in front of the class is somebody you need to know.
Well, Mark, I mean, and over the years, the different times that I've participated with, you know, the government market best practices, and, you know, again, you talk about who's in the room. And, you know, it surprised me at different times who would be in the room, because it's what you said. There are people in there that, by all rights, knew more than I did, quite honestly, and they're taking this course. And it even happens now, you know, with the different sessions we have. We'll have somebody in the front of the room, whether it's one of the ones that I'm facilitating or otherwise, but folks will attend, and it's because, you know, the way that we do business has evolved over the years, and the things that you need to know nowadays to be effective in sales and marketing and BD in the government sector has changed tremendously. And so you need to be more versatile. You need to be better versed in general about how you do business and the things that you know. And even something as simple as, you know, the change in the threshold for simplified acquisitions a couple of years ago from $100,000 to $150,000. I mean, you know, quite honestly, there are still folks in government that aren't aware that this took place. I mean, you go to a lot of the agency websites, it still refers to the old information. And that's all fine and good, but as long as you know and can educate someone on that or help them understand why it is what it is. We had one of our members recently had a deal coming out that ended up going as a simplified acquisition because it was the easiest way for the customer to get to them. And they called me up. The customer wasn't familiar with the process. We gave some information, done deal, and it's in the hopper. So that's the kind of thing that we see happening a lot.
Go back to the overall government market master thing here for a minute. Number one, we're focusing on sales, marketing, business development, social media,
yep,
and actually managing a government enterprise. If you're a small business that doesn't have experience in the government, we can show you how.
Right.
Because we have people like Guy and people who have built companies and sold them or built companies and grown them coming in to teach these classes mm-hmm. with and for us.
Yeah, I mean, social media, I mean, for anyone that thinks, you know, that it's not relevant at all, I mean, social media is simply just an augment. It's an addition to creating awareness for your company, as well as communicating other thoughts and ideas as well. And, you know, I am by far, you know, not an expert in social media at all, but we're adequate at the things that we do. But I also get to learn from a lot of very smart people who are some of the experts in doing this. And I take cues from them on how we do it. And we've seen, you know, our visibility increase through the types of things that we do, which are very, very basic, simple steps you can take to increase your visibility.
Yeah, and if you're sharing information, it's more likely people are going to think of you as a thought leader. And just to be clear here, Guy was one of the first people we asked to be on our board of advisors for the Government Market Master Program. We're hosting the program in conjunction with Capital College in Laurel, Maryland. We tried it elsewhere. It didn't work out for a variety of reasons. So if you've heard of it before and it's not where you thought it'd be, right now the live classes are going to be at Capital College in Laurel, right off 295 and Powder Mill Road. Four classes this month. We have the kicking off with the simplified acquisition procedures presented by Guy Timberlake on the 21st, on the 23rd, which is a Saturday. Yes, we do teach Saturdays, half days. Bob Davis is going to do part one of his business development. I'm going to do 4 hours on LinkedIn for GovCon. The following Saturday, Bob will do part two. And on June 26th, again, it's probably, I don't even know how many sessions I've done of this, but government marketing best practices mm-hmm. Is there. And we will be announcing other board members, and all of our instructors are frontline.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, these are the folks that are out there. They're doing it in the trenches, you know, been there, done that.
There you go. Guy, as always, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You can find Guy, who is the Chief Visionary Officer of the American Small Business Coalition. You can find him at theasbc.org. And you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Capital College, capital-college.edu/GM. If you want to register for any of our courses, look up Government Market Master at govevents.com. We are registering through govevents.com. Carrie Ray's absolutely wonderful site. And that's it. Thank you for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.